Amen. All right. Well, listen, Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to kind of take communion from there, even though we've covered this, but this is really what it's all about. Paul writing here, get out your Bibles and turn there if you would. Paul is writing to this church about God's love for this church. And as we have been talking about this, of course, over the last several weeks, we have seen that the message is not what you can do for God and trying to win God over. The fact of the matter is there's nothing you can do to get God to love you any more than He already loves you. He loves you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. If you haven't yet, as Steve already said, given your life to Him, you know what, man? Now's the time. Today's the day. You're not here by accident. You're here by appointment. And you're here because God loves you. And it's a divine ambush, if you would. This friend brought me. Yeah, because they love you and Jesus loves you. And that's why you came. Maybe you didn't know that yet, but you will. And so we see here that what Christ has done. It says, and he made in verse 1 of chapter 2, alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. All that's saying basically is, hey, if you live without Jesus Christ, you know what? Newsflash, you're not doing your own gig. We looked at that last time together. You're doing the enemy's gig. You're living according to what? The lust of your flesh. In other words, whatever I feel like I want to do. And I'm going to do what I feel like doing. And I can't really do, I got to be true to my feelings. That was the hippie drug culture that I grew up in. How can we say I love you if we don't really feel it, you know? And feelings, nothing more than feelings, you know, and craziness. You know, if life is all about, I'm not denying that we have feelings, but you know what? Well, how many of you think you can trust feelings? If you do, you're wrong. Feelings come and feelings go. I mean, one morning you can be, you know, oh, I love this girl and we're going steady and we love each other. And then you wake up one morning and you go, what happened? I don't feel the same way. And then you go, I'm breaking up with you because I don't love you. What? I still have, my feelings are still the same. I know, but mine changed. That's a real mess when you get married. If that's what you're trusting in, what he's saying is, if you live life according to feelings, guess what? It's evidence that you are disobedient to God. You're living according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan himself. Casting aside God's word, casting aside God's will. And listen, he's reminding us that we were all there once. All lived like that. Hey, guess what? Those people that come to me and say, I said, whenever I ask you, just for your information in the future, if I ask you, if anybody else that's a Christian asks you, hey, when did you come to Christ? Or when did you accept Christ? The answer would not be, I was born a Christian. Because nobody is born a Christian. In fact, Jesus said it, unless you were born again, that implies you were born once, right? The implication is you were already born once, you're here. Unless you're born again, guess what? You cannot, you will not see the kingdom of God. There's no ifs, no ands, no buts about that. And you are following not your own, you know, your own thing. You are doing the enemy's thing. And we were all in that place and by our nature, children of wrath, just as others. In other words, we deserve hell. People's lives are messed up who ignore God. And that's why. Because, hey, they ignore God. And if you ignore God, it's like, you know, if you're a parent and you ask your child to do something and you ask them respectfully and you ask them kindly. And then they just get in your face and say, I'm not going to do it. So what are you going to do about it? What? Children of wrath, right? Mom, dad go, hang on for a second. You know, at 3 years old, you probably shouldn't be doing that. What's the problem? Disobedience. And that attitude remaining will incur what? Discipline. Discipline. Well, we need a little bit of the rod of correction applied to the seat of understanding. And don't give me that, you mean spanking your children? Listen, if I don't deal with them in the house in love, never spanking them out of anger, guess what? Some policeman's going to deal with them with a billy club once they get out of the house. Which would you rather have? Would you rather spank them in love and then hug them and then pray with them? Or would you rather have a policeman beat the daylights out of them with a billy club? Listen, those policemen with you, they say, get out of the car. And you say, hey, I'm not going to get out of the car. What are you going to do about it? Yes, guess what? And you don't grow out of that attitude just in the years. A change needs to happen in their hearts. See, that's the key. And that's what Paul's saying here. But God, even though we were children of wrath, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not something you can earn. It says it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were a mess, headed on a course of destruction, but God in his love sent his son Jesus. And though by nature we are children of wrath, and we deserve the wrath of God for our rebellion and disobedience, God sent his son Jesus to hang on the cross and take the wrath that we deserve. He allowed it to be meted out on his son, the sinless son of God, that we as sinners might be treated like sons of God without sin, who were sinners. You see, that's really what it's all about. That's why, well, how come Jesus is the only way? Because he's the only one that was perfect and sinless that's ever been born. Pilate, any accusation that was hurled at him, the only one that stuck was that he claimed to be God. For in fact, he was God. The rest of the accusations were all lies, even the judge, Pilate. And this is recorded in history. If you take Josephus, who is a historian and not a believer, he even mentions the fact that Pilate didn't find any fault in this one called Jesus. Why? He was perfect. How? He's God himself. Without sin. Tempted like you, so he understands the struggles. Went through being tired and facing what we face by way of people coming to him and problems being presented to him. And every situation he dealt with, even when they were spitting on him and mocking him and slapping him and saying, if you're really the Son of God, prophesy who hit you. He didn't retaliate. In fact, when he hung on that cross, beaten, treated like a criminal, he died there for your sin and my sin. And from that cross, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't understand what they're doing. Forgive them. You know, there's only one thing that will stop God's forgiveness towards you and me. And that is if we will not receive the sacrifice that he sent on the cross. Nobody else can pay for your sins. Buddha can't pay for your sins. Muhammad can't pay for your sins. Allah can't pay for your sins. Baha'i can't pay for your sins. The Hindi can't pay for your sins. Because none of them were perfect. None of them were God. Jesus paid the price for our sins. And that's why we gather here tonight and celebrate. We are thankful to God because we know what we are, right? Sinners apart from God, who because of God's love and sending a Savior, now we are called saints, not because we have it together, but because God sent his Son, because he loved us, so that we wouldn't have to pay the price. He paid it. He took it in our place. He was there in our place. He absorbed the wrath of God that we deserve. And so tonight the Lord has told us to come to this table and to remember the kind of love that was demonstrated in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died. The soul that sins shall die. He died in our place. He took the wrath that we deserve. That's why if you reject Jesus Christ, you will pay for your sins. You will take the full brunt of the wrath of God for all eternity in a place called hell, torment. God not willing, God not wanting that to happen, has done everything he can. He sent Jesus to take that payment, to make that payment rather for us on the cross. And tonight, we celebrate that. And if you've come tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you know what? We would love you to join us. But Steve, as he's already shared, listen, man, if you don't know Jesus, don't take of these elements because you take and drink them. You drink, the Bible says, and eat condemnation to yourself. How's that, you ask? Well, because you mock what Jesus did on the cross. You just drink that's going to do nothing for you but condemn you, because one day when you stand before God, if you take of these elements, it's bad enough that you're here at this service if you don't give your life to Christ and you're not saved. You're already hearing the gospel and what needs to happen and what you need to do. You need to believe and receive the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. How do you do that? You confess your sin, agree that you're a sinner. You'd be willing to turn from your sin. Are you willing? I don't know if I can. I didn't ask you if you can. I asked you, are you willing to turn? Yeah, I want to change. I'd like to change. I don't know if I could. It'll work for me. Yeah, it'll work for you, because it's not an it, it's a he. And he'll come and by his Spirit and give you the power to change. If you don't do that tonight, you can't say, I never heard. If you further take of these elements that represent his blood and his body, his blood that was shed for you on the cross and the body that was broken for you on the cross, paying the price for your sin, providing a way for you to be healed. If you take of these things, then guess what? When you stand before God one day, if you're not a Christian, you can't say, I never knew, I never heard. He says, oh yeah, the guy heard, here it is, roll him, Gabriel, and you will be up there. This is your life. And you will find probably among many other people talking to you about Christ, you will see yourself sitting here in this very place tonight. And you will have heard this very message. And the video will be playing of you receiving the cup going, oh, the stupid Christian stuff. And the condemnation, the judgment, if you would, will be very heavy, because you'll have to admit, I knew, I heard, I disobeyed, I continued the course. I deserve what I'm getting. Listen, if you don't know Christ tonight, you need to come to Christ, and we'd love you to join us. But first things first, you need to come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven. You need to put your faith and your trust in him. And if you're not sure tonight your sins are forgiven, if you're not sure you're a Christian and you have that hope of heaven, now's the time to make it good, man, to make that commitment. And so before we enter this communion service, I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you haven't yet given your life to Christ, to make that decision. So let's pray.